So you know how sometimes I like to set up our reading for the gospel lesson. So I think it's important for us to have a sense of context for this morning. Immediately prior to our gospel lesson for this morning out of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus warned that he came not to bring peace, but bring division. Kind of makes you go, And he also warned the crowds that while they knew how to read the sky for signs of impending weather, they did not know how to interpret, he says in chapter 12, this time. By which he meant that their spiritual insights failed to match their understanding of ordinary physical phenomena. So immediately after our gospel lesson, a synagogue leader will criticize Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus will put him to shame. And at the end of chapter 13, Jesus will lament on this in Jerusalem, that Jerusalem kills the prophets and stones of those who are sent to her. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletins? We seek you in your word, O God, as though we are searching for water in dry and weary land. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may this word be to us rich feast, satisfying the soul. Then with our mouths we will praise you, and with our lives we will bless you, our host and our hope. Amen. This is a reading from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, starting on page 1619 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along, verses 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish." And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. So I had a pastor friend of mine that shared a story with me the other day. And he shared in this story that he had gone to a town, a city, that he had never visited before. It was totally new. And he said he, you know, truly felt gifted to be among so many disciples of Christ and seeking the faithful in their spheres of influence. And as he kept telling me this story, telling me that after speaking one evening at this church he was invited to speak at, a member came up to him about a local ministry. And this local ministry, this friend had invited him to come and attend their next weekly meeting, which was the next morning. And he said it was kind of a Quaker-style meeting. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a Quaker-style meeting, but it was kind of cool. where if you felt moved to speak, you stood up and you spoke. Whether that movement entailed speaking of a psalm or a prayer or singing, or if you had a topic you wanted to talk about and bring forward. And so it was just a real simple act that he would discover that was, as he described it, was so deeply profound. So he went the next day. And he sat in this room, this large room with fluorescent lights and chairs, with this diverse group of people. And they sat in a circle, kind of in a large perimeter of the space. And one person stood and read a psalm, and then another. And then there were some people that just didn't speak, some that just sat. And some gave thanks, and others named where they had seen God at work. Others asked for prayer. And praising both the intervention of the Holy Spirit and the tangible support, the physical support, the spiritual and mental, emotional support of the Holy Spirit and the relationship, the body of Christ in that room. He sat in the corner of this room listening, heartened by the evidence of relationships built across differences because they weren't in the room. They were brought together in prayer and in voice and in song. And what seemed impenetrable was now penetrable. Now they could reach each other on a common level. And at one point, someone recounted the joy of seeing several of the community members complete an educational program and obtain their GEDs. And several of those had named had taken the tests repeatedly, and they stuck with it and finally passed their test after overcoming all of these significant barriers. And as I listened to him telling me this story, I felt humbled because I started to think about how often small impediments in my life had thwarted me from my determination through the years. And hearing these stories and the grit, I mean, it takes grit to get through some of these things. The students, I mean, it was just impressive to hear that. So I heard these stories about these adult students, these learners, who had come through these GED programs and they were, as he described them, unreachable. I mean, what a pronouncement to make on someone. To be unreachable. Beyond hope. There's no need to try any harder or any more. It's impossible. It's just impossible to get to them. Unreachable. I mean, how often do we label people unreachable and give up on them? I mean, look, we say no to figs, right? No fruit, it's gone. Done. Cut it out. We communicate in word or in action or in inaction. Cut it down. Cut them down. They're wasting our soil that could be better utilized somewhere else. How often we ourselves have felt written off. I mean, y'all ever felt that way? I know I have. Unreachable. I mean, how does it feel to be assessed by others and labeled as unreachable, a waste of soil, not worthy of the space in which you occupy? And how has that been done? Well, that got me thinking. And I started talking to different adult learners, older folks who had gone back to school or tried to figure out a way to be an older adult learner. And how often that challenge, it's not the math, it's not the writing, and it's not the reading, it's so much as overcoming the reluctance to once again enter into a realm where one has been named a problem, unreachable, judged, or written off. This unbending truth of the text from Luke this morning, no human being gets to say when the time for transformation is up. That's Jesus' call, and his alone. This time between barrenness and fruit bearing, Jesus does not sit back and watch idly, counting the days until the axe hits the root. The Spirit blows where it wills. The word of the Lord refuses to return empty. God is doing a new thing. That's exciting. That's exciting. We are new creations in Christ. Jesus gets his hands dirty, right? Gets down on his knees and gets his hands dirty in the soil of our lives and uses them to touch lepers and welcome children and prepare people for new growth. Jesus stretches out his arms on the cross to reach those deemed unreachable. Gentiles, tax collectors, lepers, sinners. He sends out his followers to preach and teach and heal and proclaim God's word, pointing to life in a world awash in premature death. So every time I read about this parable of the barren fig tree, I ask myself, who and what have I deemed beyond reach and unworthy of effort, concern, or resources? What have I pronounced dead that God sees as ripe for new life? What and who have I cut down to size that I would have been supporting or building up? The prophet Isaiah, in a complimentary reading for this week, says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." He reminds us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. What we see as barren and dead, Jesus sees as prime for transformation and new life. And I wonder, what would happen if we could have that kind of vision as well? There's a real terror in being invisible. Being invisible, or the invisibility about being cut dead. And alternately, there's a power of being truly seen, regarded and thought worthy of another's time and attention and care. The gardener of this parable understands that power. "Give me time," he says. Let me dig. Let me tend. Let me get my hands dirty. Let me bend down and love and nurture and nourish and prune and water and expect transformation and growth and fruit. And then we'll see what happens. Time is not infinite, but time is not yet up. Don't cut it dead just yet. As my friend continued in this story, he told me that he witnessed the work of faithful gardeners in that room under the tutelage of the master gardener. Those believers who refuse to see death because they follow the resurrected Lord. The teacher said with passion, "Everyone has a gift to use and to share." So sometimes we just need to dig a little bit more and a little bit longer to find it. Sometimes God puts you in an unexpected place with unexpected people in order to remind you that so much of what's been labeled unreachable or impossible or dead or buried is ripe for radical God-revealing transformation and growth and new life. On this third Sunday in Lent, as we get closer to Holy Week and Easter, it's a good time to do some digging and some clearing away, some weeding, and to make room for new growth, certain that God never sees a problem and wants so much for us to be reconciled with Him. And He goes to such extraordinary lengths to reach us that not even death on the cross can thwart resurrection and redemption and most especially reconciliation. What does it look like to dig and to tend in places that appear barren? Where are those places in your life? Where are those places in our church, in our community, and in our world? And what are you called to do about it? Are you listening? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. His name?
I can give you the grandfather's name.
Okay.
Charlie Hoover.
Okay. Sure.
I can't remember the little boy's name. I follow that. And then my update on my little boy. He's up to 4 pounds and 5.8 ounces.
All right. Not missing any meals.
From the test that he had this week, he has some scar tissue in his lungs where they had to give him the stuff to make his lungs grow fast. But he's on a nebulizer for breathing treatments twice a day, and that seems to be helping quite a bit. He is anemic and has low iron levels, so they put him on a multivitamin. He's in an open crib, so he's actually in a crib.
Okay.
You can see him
okay.
Stuff instead of in the incubator.
And hold him in your arms.
And you can hold him. he has stage 1 ROP, which is retinopathy of the premature, or it's an abnormal blood vessel growth of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays in stage 1, then possibly he may have to wear glasses, as mm-hmm. a very small child. But if it grows and goes to stage 4, he could be permanently blind.
Mm-hmm.
So we're praying that it stays in stage 1.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was a blessing. I got to hold him after 7 minutes.
yes.
So I was in hospital.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
My niece wanted me to be sure and tell y'all again how much she appreciates all the prayers and the concerns and just being there. She said, even though I don't really know, she said, I do know.
Mm-hmm.
She said, thank you so much for all the
good
prayers and concerns. And
good.
Because it's working for the baby.
Amen. Thank you. Others. Let us go to God in prayer. The Heavenly Father of generous provision, we are grateful. We are grateful for the many ways you care for us and provide for the needs of your people. In your word, in water and bread and cup, you nourish and sustain us. When we listen to you, we encounter delight, and when we come to you, we live most fully. Sometimes, though, we find ourselves in a dry and weary land where we have misused or depleted creation. drought and famine leave people and animals facing hunger and starvation, where we have polluted streams, bless you, rivers and oceans, fish and other water creatures suffer. People without access to clean water become sick. Oh God, help us to care for your creation in ways that make it possible for all to have enough food, to have enough water, life, verdant and abundant. And sometimes we find ourselves in a dry and weary land, in places torn apart by war, where the earth itself has been ravaged, where hospitals and homes and corner stores have been reduced to rubble, where human lives have been destroyed and deformed, where peace lies in the ruins and hope seems buried. But we ask that you raise peace among us again and build hope up from the ground and restore in us and in the world's leaders the will and determination to make an end of war and a new beginning for justice. Sometimes we find ourselves in a dry and weary land when we are lost and not able to find our way to a place that is our home for us, when we are sad or weighed down with regret or grief, when we are tired or sick in body or mind or even spirit. O gracious one, we ask that you provide water in the desert and manna in the wilderness, enough to sustain us for just one more day, even enough to revive us for the long haul. And sometimes we find ourselves in the rich feast of your presence. And we celebrate a new beginning in our lives, a new job, a new relationship, a new life, a new day of sobriety, a second chance, O God. And we give thanks to you for this new blessing in our lives. We give thanks for the gift of healing after injury or illness, for laughter that bubbles up to replace our tears, for hope that spills its soothing light over the darkness of our despair. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of wholeness and resurrection promised to us in Jesus Christ. And we enjoy the relief of forgiveness given and received, and we enjoy a breach in walls of division. Our hearts are enlarged and our own vision is broadened by new understanding. We welcome a prodigal home, or ourselves welcomed home again. Oh God, we thank you that you are reconciling all things in heaven and on earth. We humbly ask that you be patient with us. Be patient with us, we pray, in the varied landscapes of our lives, and make us patient with one another and even with ourselves. Do your good work within us and among us and beyond us too, until our lives and all creation become fully into your realm. It is in Christ's name that we pray. It is in Christ's name that we come together and pray as you have taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Disciples of Jesus, children of God, we often spend our money on that which is not true bread and labor toward things that will never satisfy. In our offering, we give thanks that to things that are God: bread for the hungry, good news for those who are oppressed, the ministries of the church that are welcome that welcome strangers and daughters and sons alike, and we bring before God a portion of all that God has given so freely to us. The ushers, please prepare for the offering. And promised land, in days of want and in days of plenty, you have been with us. By these gifts we now share, may others know of your providence and care. Send us not only our offerings, but our very selves to console and comfort, to lift up and reach out, to listen and sit beside your children everywhere at the one table you have set. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We remain standing and sing our hymn of commitment.
Thank you.
third Sunday in Lent. What does it look like? What does it look like to dig and tend in places that appear barren? Where are those places in your life? Where are those places in our church? Where are those places in our community, in our world? And what are you called to do about them that contributes to God's kingdom of justice and love? And now may the mercy of God ground us and the love of Christ take root in us and the Holy Spirit grow in us, that we may be ready for the coming of the kingdom. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.